Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Chris Allen has supported independent tech news directly for 5 years. Be like Chris. Become a DTNS member at patreon.com/DTNS. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, January 29th, 2019, in LA. I'm Sarah Lane.
Patrick Beja. Roger, you told me to read the notes as they were written, and that's what's written. So, yes, Patrick Beja.
It's Patrick Beja from the frigid but unusually comforting waste of Finland.
Well, that's a good one. Well, team effort, guys.
I think you should write all of my intros.
Joining him on the same crowd. Latitude, or is it longitude? Is it latitude or longitude?
It would be
Amos, who's helping me produce today's show, because obviously
you've got things under control. Yeah, exactly. Hello.
Hey, Amos, good to have you. We're all going to be just fine.
And it's because of me, Roger Chang, the show's producer, who will now tuck out.
No, it's going to be a great show. Patrick, it's so nice to see you. Amos, it's so nice to have you. Roger, as always, couldn't do it without you. So let's start with a few tech things you should know. U.S. District Judge Lucy Coe in San Jose, California, perhaps you've heard of her, rejected Yahoo's proposed settlement with millions of people whose email addresses and other personal information were stolen in the largest data breach in history, citing Yahoo's lack of transparency, such as not citing how much victims, however, could expect to recover. Yahoo's settlement illustrated a $5 million payout plus 2 years of free credit monitoring for about 200 million people in the United States and Israel, adding up to 1 billion accounts, but that wasn't enough.
She must be so tired. Poor Judge Lucy Coe. NVIDIA's Quadro virtual machine workstation will now be available in the Microsoft Azure marketplace. The virtualized workstations will offer NVIDIA's high-end to mid-level cloud GPUs for high-performance computing applications. The benefit to users is that they only pay as needed while leaving the underlying infrastructure management to someone else. The company believes these virtual workstations will be a special interest for firms involved with architecture, entertainment, oil and gas, and manufacturing.
Gmail is rolling out new interfaces based on the Material Design language for Gmail on Android and iOS in the coming weeks. So what can you look forward to? Changes include shifting the user's profile picture to the right-hand side. Woo! Attachments like photos and documents will be visible from the main inbox view. Switching between multiple Gmail accounts, that's actually very helpful, can be done by tapping the profile picture in the main screen. And giant red warning signs will appear on emails that are suspected of phishing.
Excellent.
Oh, Gmail. I mean, we've all got you. Nice that you get better all the time. All right, Patrick, let's talk a little bit more about where Amazon is expanding to, potentially.
Well, I think everywhere, but in this specific case, CNBC is reporting that Amazon is launching a new marketplace focused on Saudi Arabia and the UAE and asking sellers to move to Amazon over souq.com, which Amazon bought for $580 million back in 2017. Sources say Amazon has been reaching out to large third-party sellers in North America about the Middle Eastern expansion.
So it sounds to me as though, I mean, souq, which is now an Amazon company, is being absorbed in a bigger way, right? Amazon's not saying, don't use them anymore, use us, because they own both. So it's more of just bringing more stuff in-house. But if you have a lot of third-party sellers who are selling to, again, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, perhaps markets that were largely untapped in the past, then I can see where Amazon's going with this.
Right. It's probably a lot easier to grow that market for Western and North American sellers if they have a place that is the same as the one they're already using, namely Amazon. Doesn't necessarily mean souq.com is going to go away, right, although it might down the line. But Amazon being over there might be an easier way to get more sellers to sell more things in more places, which is what Amazon is all about. I would also love for them to come to the Nordic countries. So thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you in advance, Amazon and Mr. Bezos. All right, moving on to, well, this story, it writes itself. U.S. prosecutors have filed criminal charges against Huawei, alleging that it stole trade secrets from T-Mobile in the U.S. and committed bank fraud by violating sanctions against doing business with Iran. We have reported on the story in the past on the show, but there's some more information now. The 13-count indictment filed in New York, the latest one anyway, claims that both Huawei, two affiliated companies, and chief financial officer Meng Wanzhou engaged in bank and wire fraud and conspiracy in connection with businesses in Iran. Additional charges filed in Washington state accused the company of stealing trade secrets from T-Mobile and offering bonuses to employees who did the same. In a statement, Huawei said, quote, the company denies that it or its subsidiary or affiliate have committed any of the asserted violations of U.S. law set forth in each of the indictments and is not aware of any wrongdoing by Ms. Meng and believes that the U.S. courts will ultimately reach the same conclusion, end quote. Patrick?
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting messy, isn't it?
It is getting really messy, and it's very difficult to see clearly in all of this, because it would seem that the U.S. Judicial system wouldn't go that far if it was just something that they're trying to use as leverage in the trade war, which is, you know, one of the scenarios that a lot of people have thought about when this initially started. On the other hand, a strong denial from Huawei, and it does seem like it's a little bit, I don't want to say unbelievable, but it's a lot of things, and the kind of thing that no one would dare. I don't know enough about the criminal financial world, I suppose, but it seems like you wouldn't get away with stuff like that. So I don't know if it happens all the time, and now they're using this and putting a bigger focus on it because of other reasons. It's a little bit out of my comfort zone. You know, we used to talk about gadgets and apps, and now we're talking about incredibly wide reaching financial fraud.
So, well, I think you make a good point that you read a story like this and you go, whoa, this is crazy. Does this happen though? More often than we think. And this is just something that we're hearing about now. And again, where you and I stand on this, it's somewhat hard to say.
Mm-hmm. What is easier to say, though, is what's happening with the soon-to-be-released Metro Exodus game. The PC version of that game is bypassing the Steam store and releasing exclusively on the Epic Game Store. The release on Epic will also see a price drop from $59.99 to $49.99 US dollars only in the US. The CEO of Deep Silver, the game's publisher, said the move reflects Epic's generous revenue terms, our game changer that will allow us to allow publishers to invest more into content creation or pass on savings to the players. The company added, any customer with an outstanding pre-order of Metro Exodus on PC through any other digital retailer, Steam, will receive the game as expected.
All right, Patrick, as resident gamer on the show, at least at this time, what do we think about this? Is exclusivity on Epic Games a good thing? What are your initial thoughts?
So I will tell you what you think about this, Sarah. So anyone who has listened to MVGB, our monthly video game briefing, knows that what Epic has done by introducing their new game store on the PC platform is attack Steam where it hurts. In the wallet. Steam has used the revenue share model that everyone uses, which is 30% for themselves and 70% for the developer or the publisher. With the Epic Game Store, the split is 12-88, which is an enormous difference. I mean, obviously, if someone would offer you a raise of, you know, getting home, I don't know, 18%, even more, given that proportion, more money just by switching one, you know, flipping one switch, I think a lot of people would say, I'm going to go to the place where there's more money. And this is what's happening here. We have seen a few other cases. This is a relatively high, important one because the game had already been in pre-sale on Steam. And now it's not available to buy anymore, pre-sale or regular order. So it led to a lot of questions about additional content and delivery. They will be delivered as promised, but it still means that there is a community that is a little bit unhappy. Overall, beyond all of the ramblings, the developer actually is squabbling with the publisher because they are not in control of this decision and their players are not happy. The bottom line is, as always, it's a lot more money on the Epic Game Store. Steam is unhappy. Some people are unhappy, but things are going to have to change for Steam because this is going to keep happening and keep happening if they don't do something about it.
Well, in news of things potentially changing, Facebook and Nick Clegg, who is their new head of global affairs, are accused by Brussels, that's Brussels, Belgium, of taking a, quote, patchy, opaque, and self-selecting approach to tackling disinformation. Facebook was one of several companies that this description applied to by the EU Commissioner Sir Julian King. Tuesday, the commission published the first report submitted by Google, Firefox's Mozilla, Facebook, Twitter as well, on their adherence to the voluntary code of practice all signed back in October. The code states that all are obliged to disrupt revenue for accounts and websites misrepresenting information, clamp down on fake accounts and bots, give prominence to reliable sources of news, and improve the transparency of funding of political advertising. Last one's a bit of a doozy. This all, you know, we knew that the EU commissioner had this in mind, Patrick. You're certainly closer to Brussels than I am at this point. But you know, at this point, it seems to be it's another day. It's another kind of dig into the social networks that now say, sorry, we didn't know that we were doing this terrible.
I think, you know, I think it is starting to be a little bit significant because this is not, I mean, the people who dislike Facebook will keep disliking Facebook and have always disliked Facebook. Now we're in the stage where the issues that Facebook has had have become public for a while. And we're not judging the issues themselves anymore. We're judging the way Facebook has been dealing with these issues. And more people are saying they are not happy, not just that there were issues to begin with, but that about how Facebook has, you know, been declaring with an open heart, we will do our best to fix all of these problems that we are very aware of. And of course, they had been saying this before, and Mark Zuckerberg has said this a million times, but in this case, it's the big one. And the fact that they are not being judged by, you know, whoever, it doesn't even matter if it's true or not. The fact that they're being judged as this harshly, patchy, opaque, and self-selecting, they're not even trying their best to fix the issues is the message you get out of all of this. And that's bad.
Well, and on the show yesterday, we had Aaron Carson and Kiki Sanford on our panel, and we talked about the idea that Facebook is putting together, at least in theory, if this all goes through, a independent board of non-Facebook employees with specialties and all sorts of different disciplines that will help Facebook become stronger and more honest and et cetera. And it all sounds great, doesn't it? But at the same time, you know, and these are tech people sort of sitting around going like, yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how this shakes out. It sounds good on paper, sure. But, you know, is it lip service versus actual change? Hard to say.
And that's the problem. It is, if it's been lip service to these people for a few times, at some point, it doesn't even work anymore, even if it does sound good. And I think we're kind of reaching that milestone for Facebook.
All right. Well, speaking of milestones, we got Apple earnings coming in during the show. Thanks to Roger for putting in these numbers. CNBC reports that Apple earnings for its December quarter, the most recent quarter, its holiday quarter, a very important quarter, are in. The earnings are $84.3 billion versus $83.97 billion estimated. So they beat expectations there. iPhone revenue was $51.98 billion versus $52.67 billion estimated. Okay, coming up short in that realm. Not a huge surprise, given some of the news that we've heard as of late. Services revenue, $10.9 billion versus $10.87 billion estimated. Services is one of those catch-all categories that includes Apple Pay, Apple Music, iCloud storage, marked a 29% year-over-year increase. Looking at the cloud, people are using the cloud more and more. Overall, in line with expectations, especially with Tim Cook's statement earlier in the month about slowdown in sales in China possibly being a drag on revenue. So, Patrick, I know these are preliminary numbers, and we'll talk more about it in the show tomorrow. But are you surprised by anything, given the fact that Apple did have to adjust some earnings expectations going forward, which was a big deal a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, it definitely is. I think the big takeaway is, well, first of all, they reached their adjusted earnings estimates. So that's not bad. Of course, they were adjusted. But obviously, the iPhone slowdown, this is just maybe not the beginning. There might be some years where they go back up again, but it's a warning sign. And the big surprise to me, maybe it was obvious to everyone else, is that revenue is growing that fast. Revenue on services is growing that fast. And Tim Cook has mentioned that they are going to introduce a number of other services that will help that trend. We've seen rumors about a game subscription service just today. And of course, the TV service has been in preparation for a long time. You know, services are obviously a much smaller part of Apple's earnings, but it's a fifth of the iPhone. That's not insignificant at all. So
no, and especially when you think of huge markets like China slowing down and really affecting something like Apple's bottom line when it comes to hardware, and everyone who follows Apple, the evolution of Apple saying, well, it's a hardware company. All the services stuff is just sort of icing under the cake,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So at what point does it change to Apple is a services company, hardware, great, good, makes good stuff, but their bottom line eclipses it in the software side.
Mm. Well, at least it should be getting more balanced over the next few years.
And I think it would probably be advantageous of Apple to do that. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody, to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes or less, subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. Oh, Patrick, I wish I could say we were done with Apple news, but we're not. Apple has taken group FaceTime offline after a bug was discovered, and this is significant, that lets users call anybody via FaceTime and then hear the audio from the recipient's phone before the recipient has accepted or even rejected the incoming call. Worst nightmare. Apple says that the issue would be addressed in a software update later this week. The bug is believed to affect any pair of iOS devices running iOS 12.1 or later. 9 to 5 Mac claims to have replicated the problem with an iPhone calling a Mac as well, suggesting it goes from iOS to macOS, and says that if a user presses the power button from the lock screen during the process, recipient's video can be sent as well. Now, Apple's saying, listen, huge problem. There was a patch. We got this, and it probably won't be an issue anymore. Okay, that would be expected. But this is, and Patrick, please weigh in on this. Mm-hmm. To me, there was a time where Apple was that OS, whether it be mobile or their desktop OS, where you know, you just didn't have issues like this. This is a very big privacy breach, perhaps the biggest.
Well, it's the worst nightmare that you can think of. It's everyone has a phone with cameras. What if someone or anyone could turn it on without mm-hmm. you realizing? This is the nightmare scenario. However, and I'm really torn on this, it was an issue for about, I don't know, 5 hours. Right. And Apple right. obviously got on it. And, you know, as the story, the story of that bug was spreading over the past, I would say, 20 hours, the issue had been quelled for like 70% of that time. Mm-hmm. And it was not possible to do this anymore, unless there's another form of the bug that we haven't heard about yet. But because Apple has been on point and has disabled Group FaceTime, from which the issue came, the bug was spreading and people were freaking out a little bit, but it was addressed as a quick measure until we actually get the fix out. So on the one hand, I understand, and I kind of want to say, oh my God, the worst thing possible that you could ever imagine happened for privacy issues has happened to Apple of all companies. And on the other hand, my rational brain is thinking, okay, it's a very bad bug, but it's a bug that's been addressed immediately, and that is not possible to replicate anymore. So okay, really a big deal?
Okay. So taking into account our previous story, Apple's latest earnings, and, you know, we're going to have to unpack that a little bit more and think about what some of these numbers mean. But the fact that Apple has dealt with some earnings issues, some PR issues, does this lend itself to people believing less in the Apple ecosystem, which I think is very important, especially if it wants to gain ground as a services company?
Well, I mean, for my money, I think it lends itself to inflammatory headlines. And if Apple hadn't addressed this as quickly as they did, which of course they would, because this is the entirety of their livelihood and their messaging, that we are the secure piece of tech that you can trust. If they hadn't addressed it, then yes, there would be legitimacy to the inflammatory nature of some of the headlines we've seen. Since they have addressed it, I think, again, to me, I think they're proving that they are worried about these things. And when something happens, you can be certain that if, you know, one company can address it, it will be Apple. Or one company has the desire and the financial incentive to address it very quickly, it's Apple. I don't know if it would have been, I mean, every scenario is different and no other company is like Apple, so it can't really compare. But
everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Bugs happen, right? That we say this all the time. And sometimes egregious security issues happen. And sometimes it takes some companies that are the victims of these security issues a little bit more than a few hours to address them. And of course, it won't be your camera on your phone, but it might be access to your to an account somewhere in the cloud and stuff like that. That can be also very damaging. So to me, Apple has reacted the way they should have. Mm-hmm. In a world where they are consistent with their messaging about we care about your privacy, I understand why people want to point fingers, and certainly the bug is a bad thing, but bugs happen, right? It's just one that touches on something that inserts itself into our psyche because it's microphones and cameras, but bugs happen.
Yeah, it's also the timing is right. You know, this is an era where we all have Echo speakers, but we're afraid that they're listening to us, right? You know, the idea that some telemarketer calls me via FaceTime, rings on my Mac because, I don't know, my phone's, you know, in the other room and there's certain software and the person who placed the call has a particular iPhone might be able to get video from my computer. Oh my goodness. I mean, even though it seems like a short-lived issue, pretty big one. It's a privacy nightmare for folks, and you know it's we're all better off for understanding why it happened and why it shouldn't happen again. What we do want to happen more is Chris Christensen weighing in. We've got our thing of the day. Chris says, "Do you work remotely for a tech company and thinking about relocating to another state? Well, I, the amateur traveler, have some news for you."
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. Well, this is a tech and relocation minute for you. If you are a remote worker, because the technology now allows you to do that remotely, there are places that will pay you to live there. The two most recent ones were Vermont will pay you $10,000 if you move there and work from home for an out-of-state employer. The grants can be used for relocation, computer software and hardware, broadband, internet, and access to a co-working space. And then similarly, Tulsa has a project where they're offering selected candidates $10,000 grant and a bunch of benefits in exchange for working there for at least 1 year. You can get an apartment for a third the price and lots of other things. So if you're willing to work remote, there are people that would like to have you travel there and live there. Both of these programs have limited slots, so act now. I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
Patrick, Tulsa, Vermont.
I was going to say, I'm packed. Do they? How much snow do they have?
Vermont has a lot. It's a ski state.
All right. Well, then never mind. I have enough. It's fine.
right. No, I don't know. It's beautiful, though. Well, it's beautiful here as well.
Have you seen my Instagram? Right. Have you seen my Instagram, Sarah?
Yes, I know.
So you know two things.
Finland. You're the best.
Finland is beautiful, and my son is the cutest baby there is. So
it's true.
Actually, I don't need Vermont. I'm fine.
No. Maybe you visit.
Let's agree on that.
Sounds like two places to visit for sure. Let's check out the mailbag. We have gotten an influx of in-ear earbuds based on me in a Good Day Internet episode some time back saying, I just need something. I don't like what Apple gives me. They don't fit my ears. Anyway, we got a real nice email from Stephen with a PH, who says, these headphones are awesome. He's talking about the Plantronics Backbeat Fit Bluetooth headphones. Stephen says, I wear them all day. I wear them in the shower. They're about $50 at Costco. So you might be a Costco subscriber, you might not. But I wanted to ask you, Patrick, because I don't believe you were part of the original conversation, if you have some headphones that cannot be beat.
Actually, my answer might disappoint you. I love my AirPods. I think they're the best, and they're probably one of the best products that Apple has ever designed in their history. I love
them. All right.
And I'm sorry.
No, please don't be sorry. No, it's if you feel that way, that's great. I wish they fit my ears. But thanks again to Stephen and everybody else who's given me so many great options. I should probably do a show on earbuds and how they fit and how they work in the shower. So we'll be doing that pretty soon. But also thanks to Patrick Beja for being with us this fine Tuesday. Patrick, I know it's late where you are. I know it's dark. I know it's snowy, but let folks know how you're keeping up with all your tech.
Well, I guess I'm going to tell about gaming. Of course, I mentioned MVGB, the monthly video game briefing that you can subscribe to if you are a casual gamer. If you're a more core gamer, I would suggest Pixels, where we cover the more general gaming news. And last episode, we had a lot of fun with Emma from Eurogamer, and we have different people on every 2 weeks. It's a fun show. I encourage you to subscribe to if you like gaming. It's called Pixels.
Well, thank you for being with us. We can't wait to see you next week. Also, our goal each month is to get one more patron than last month. If we get five more or even more than that, that's even icing on the cake. But one more patron is our goal, and you could be that person putting us over the top. Please do become a DTNS member and get an ad-free RSS feed. You can get special episodes from Tom on how we make the show, what goes on behind the scenes, special episodes looking back on the tech news of the past, and a lot more. Sign up at patreon.com/DTNS. We also have a store. You want some merch? Want some gear? Want to kind of rock that DTNS hat? Well, we have the store for you, dailytechnewsshow.com/store. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We love your feedback. Please keep it coming. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. Back tomorrow with Allison Sheridan. See you then.
Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.